I'd like to talk with you about living unshackled and free as a Christian. Living the Christian life the way Christ created us to live. Living to please Abba Father as opposed to having a good works orientation. Now, I know I've been talking about God's grace a lot lately and His perfect love driving out fear. And as I was reflecting upon that yesterday, because Sylvia kind of suggested earlier in this week that I'm kind of hammering this thing over and over and over again. So I just kind of changed the title to appease her. But I was thinking that perhaps it's because I have a need in my life. I was trying to reflect, why is this subject so important to me? Growing up, I was bullied, and I lived in a lot of fear, and I probably am still working out some of the anger even from that. I know that whenever there's something like that happens in the school, or not even close to that, but, you know, if a child starts picking on another child, I make them very much aware that that is just not acceptable, because I don't want anyone feeling that way. Perhaps it's because for many years I feared being fired from my job of doing what I love to do. Perhaps being fearful of losing the plan that God has for my life. But when I reflect before the Lord, I realize that these fears are irrational. I think of Bruno's song today, "I sought the Lord. And He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears." God wants us to take the time to seek Him, so much so that He delivers us from every last fear, every last dread that we may have in our life. Sue, in the Lord's Table, talked about how we live in an imperfect world. And people living in fear and lacking security. 1 John 4:18 says that perfect love drives out fear. And I believe it's a need that a lot of people have. Not to live out of fear, with fear as our motivation. But to live out of love, where love is our motivation. And I personally desire to communicate that to others. It's something that I'm seeking to grow in myself, being motivated out of love as opposed to fear. And also, it's something that I desire to communicate to others. Rick talked about the name and what you call Father and how the name is so important. And everyone say right now, what title in your native language that you use for Father, on the count of three. Think about it. What is the title that you use in your native language for Father? And let's all say it at the count of three. One, two, three. Daddy. All right. You know, with my daughter Anna, I'm her father. We have an official relationship. Anna has a good understanding of her mother and my expectations of her. She knows the drill. She's a leader on the Schweitzer team. We had a neighbor the other day that commented on how Anna's a take-charge person, that he's noticed when we have to leave for the day and we get out, that Anna's out there getting everybody in the van, getting things packed up, you know, and boom, boom, boom. And he noticed that Anna knows how to take charge and do what needs to be done. We have a good working arrangement. You can clap for her. She knows the drill. We have a good working arrangement. We have an understanding. She behaves herself. She does what is expected. But I want better. Not better from her, but I want better in my relationship with her. I'm not a deadbeat dad. I'm not a dad that spoils her. a dad that brings gifts from afar and is an absentee father. But still, I want better in my relationship with her. I desire to have that Abba Father-Daddy relationship with Anna. I want to communicate the heart of God to her. I want to hug her. Sometimes she gets embarrassed when I just, you know, give her this big bear hug, Anna, you know, and wrap my arms around her. To give her lots of affection, to let her know that she's the apple of my eye, to let her know that she's special. And I'm embarrassing her right now. But that we have that special daddy-daughter relationship. I call her my daughter-girlfriend. Go on a date with her once in a while. Where I favor her. And I want that with all of my children. It's what God communicates to us. In Zephaniah 3:17, it says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Jackie, I don't know if Jackie's here, but Jackie shared how, Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives. Just look at that verse. The Lord your God is with you. Say, Lord, I thank you that you're with me. And we can say that, and we can know it mentally. But do we know it experientially? Are we conscious of his presence? That he's with us. Our Father is with us. He is mighty to save. The name Jesus means salvation. He saves us by grace through faith. We become born again. And then as we're going to look in Galatians, we're to live by grace through faith every day of our life. We not only come to Christ by grace through faith, we live by grace through faith every day of our life. He is mighty to save. He saves us every day. We need his salvation every day of our life. He takes great delight in us. He delights in us. You know, I don't want my children to be ever beyond my tickling them. You know, Caleb kind of like recoils and, you know, like, you know, but he knows I love him, right, Caleb? What is he going to say right now? But to communicate delight over our children and for us to receive the delight of our Father God. He will quiet you with his love. Sometimes you have to take the time to simply stop and to stop by those rivers of still water that Psalm 23 talks about. He leads me beside still waters and he quiets us with his love. And then he's also loud. He rejoices over us with singing. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Do you have any fears? Do you have any vague fears, perhaps dread in the back of your heart or mind? Well, you need to know that our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, has not given you a spirit of fear. He has not given you a spirit that makes you a slave to fear. You do not have to be mastered by any fear. You are freed from all the fears in your life. Sometimes it simply takes the time for us to reflect before God and realize that before him, he obliterates every last fear in our life. We have received a spirit of sonship. We have received a spirit of daughterhood. We are the son of the Father. We are the daughter of the Father, where we cry Abba, which is the Aramaic for Father. How do you say daddy in your language? One, two, three. Cry it. Abba, Daddy, Father relationship. We all have a need as Christians. The need to experience a grace-filled Abba, Daddy, Father relationship with our Father God. And that relationship serves us. That relationship serves to motivate us. It helps us to motivate us from the inside out. It helps us to give us an enduring motivation, a lasting motivation, an eternal motivation to live for Christ. 1 John 3:1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. Do you know what you're going to be? Do you know what God is going to do with your life? Do you know what God is going to continue to grow you in the rest of your life? There is a future that God has for you. Every single one of us has a future. Every single one of us can grow. None of us have arrived to that place that, not that we're going to keep striving to please God, but there are deeper ways and further ways that we can grow as a disciple of Christ. What we will be has not yet been made known. You don't know how far you're going to go in Christ. And it's not just about the doing, but it's the being. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. This hope. If we have this hope, if we have this relationship, it serves to motivate us to purify ourselves, to be more like Christ. It causes us to live for Christ. And so this father-daughter relationship, this father-son relationship motivates. It motivates us to live for Him. It motivates us to lay down our lives. It motivates us to lay down ourselves and to let Christ live through us. It motivates us to surrender, to live the adventurous life of Christ. It's inspiring. It's motivating. Christ's love, His perfect love, motivates more than any fear can. In the short term, with our children, with us, fear does motivate. But the lasting, long-term, most enduring motivation, inspiration, is the perfect love of God. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, starting at verse 15. It says, we who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. What does it mean to be justified? You think of that word, okay? It has the word just in it. What is just? What does it mean to be justified? It means that we are declared righteous. And we're declared righteous not by observing the law. We're declared righteous not by the good deeds that we may do. We're justified by faith in Christ. By faith in the perfect work of Christ on the cross. Romans 3:20 says, therefore no one will be declared righteous in His sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Let's look at verse 17. If, while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. Does the message of God's grace promote sin? You see, there were people that were trying to make the argument with the Apostle Paul preaching God's grace and emphasizing God's grace that, well, then people are just going to say, well, I might as well just go on sinning. The Apostle Paul said, where sin increased, grace increased. Were there all the more sin, all the more grace? Well, should I sin so there's more grace? And the Apostle Paul says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. See, it actually works. If we're in Christ, we are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And so grace is not a license to sin, to live a lifestyle of sin. God's grace makes us truly into a new creation. Galatians 2:18 says, if I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. Now let's put our thinking caps on a little bit. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. We are not living according to the law as our focus and as our motivation and as the thing that's going to help us to be righteous. It's a different perspective. We are living unto Christ. Romans 7:4 says, so my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ. When we became saved, when we turned from our way and received Christ as our Savior, we became one with Christ in His death and resurrection. We identify with Christ in His death and resurrection. And so again, it says in Romans 7:4, so my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ. So when we came to Christ, part of that transaction was that we died to the law, that you might belong to another. We no longer belong to the law. We no longer live to the law. We no longer are motivated to achieve the law. We now belong to Christ, that you might belong to another, to Him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. It's a different perspective. We've died to the law with Christ. And so we no longer live to the law. We no longer have our focus on achieving righteousness through keeping the law. Instead, we are alive to Christ. We not only died to Christ and the law, we are now resurrected and alive with Christ. And so we belong to another. We belong to Christ. And so now we belong to Christ and we bear fruit to God. We are led by Him. On the outside, things might look exactly the same. Our life perhaps might look exactly the same. Well, we're doing these things. We're doing these good works. How do we know whether we're living to the law or living to Christ? You know by the freedom that you experience in your spirit. You know by the freedom that you know you have in Christ that we are free from sin. We're free from living to the law, but now we know that we're motivated again, by love, by His perfect love, by the Holy Spirit in us. And we're motivated, inspired, and we're belonging to God, and we're being led by the Spirit. It's a different motivation. It's a different perspective. On the outside, it might not look any different. God knows. But God wants to free us, to help us to understand that when Christ died and we identified with Christ, we died to the law. And now we identify with Christ in His resurrection. We no longer belong to the law. We belong to Christ and we bear fruit to God. And so it's a different motivation. It's a different focus. It's a different relationship where we are seeking to be led by the Spirit of Christ and we belong to Christ, and then the fruit comes from there. It's a different motivation. It's on the motivation. Key verse, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, we still have this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I would encourage you to thank the Lord daily for this. Thank Him, Lord. I thank You that I've been crucified with Christ. I thank You that I no longer live. I thank You that the life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Just thank Him for this. Identify with Him every single day of your life in His death and resurrection. Because what will take place there, you will have a different motivation thinking, oh, I've got to just go through my life and earn my way and work my way and I got to make it my way through life. You will have a different motivation thinking that I thank you, Lord God, that I've died and you're going to live. And I'm just going to surrender to you and allow you to live in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God. Lord, I thank you that I'm crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank him every day to pray a prayer to that effect. Identify with Christ every day because we came to Christ by grace through faith and we live every single day by grace through faith. And we have to remind ourselves sometimes that we are identified with Christ in his death and resurrection. It says, that we are alive to Christ, that we no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Romans 7:6 says, but now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. We serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. As opposed, we serve in the new way of the Spirit leading us by faith, as opposed to the old way of the law leading us by good works. Romans 6:6 says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Before Christ, with our old self, we were a slave to sin. With Christ, with our new self, we're freed from sin and all its deadly consequences to live to Christ. We're free from the power of sin. We're free to live for Christ the way he's created us to live. We're no longer a slave to sin. Where no sin has to have mastery over us. There are certain sins in my life that I consciously crucify every day. The Bible tells us to do that. There are sins in my life that I consciously crucify every day in my life and count myself dead to those particular sins, but alive to Christ. You know the sins that you struggle with. You know the various temptations that you deal with. God wants you to know that there is no sin that has mastery over you. There is no sin that you are just, well, I just can't help myself. I'm just a slave to it. I can't deal with it, this temptation. Through Christ, you need to know that you are free. You are free from the power of sin. You are free to live for Christ the way he created you. Again, Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. When you get a hold of simply even that spiritual dynamic, that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I no longer live, Christ lives in me. When you get a hold of that, you understand that it's not about me trying hard to live this Christian life. It's about me dying and surrendering, allowing Christ to live in me. If we could only remember that every day of our life. Identify with Christ in his death and resurrection. The Christian life is not me striving to be good. The Christian life is exchanging my life for Christ's life in Christ living in me. Verse 21 says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Did Christ die for nothing? Did Christ die for nothing in your life? Are you trying to live the Christian life in such a way where by the way you're living and by the way you're motivated, perhaps Christ died for nothing? Ask yourself, did Christ die for nothing in your life? Of course not. It says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Don't set aside God's grace and revert to a works righteousness mentality. We're no longer seeking to please God through the law or good works or trying to earn approval. Have faith in God. Let His grace be preeminent in your life. Let His favor flow into your life and to flow to others, and serve in the new way of the Spirit leading you. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord God. I believe the Lord would have you to know in your inner being. I just want to pray this prayer over you. Father, I pray, Lord God, that each one here would know in their inner being, Lord God. Just reflect before the Lord and let these words sink into your heart and mind. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Cry, Abba, Father. Cry, Abba, Father. Cry, Abba, Father. Let this truth sink into your spirit, into your inner being. Father, I pray, Lord God, that each one here, that they would know in their inner being that just as they came to you, just as they came to Christ, just as they became born again by grace through faith, Lord God, that they live every day by grace through faith. That they live every day with the focus of Christ in me, the hope of glory. The Spirit of Christ in me. The Spirit of Christ leading in me. The Spirit of Christ guiding me. The Spirit of Christ bearing fruit in and through me. Father, help them every day to understand that the Spirit leads us by grace through faith. Father, I pray that each one here would let their relationship with Christ be their inspiration. That they would let their relationship with you, Lord God, be the guide that leads them. And that they would let their relationship with you be the power that strengthens them, Lord God. Father, that they would refuse to go in the old way, the flesh way, Lord God, the self way, Lord God, of trying to live a Christian life, Lord God. But Lord God, that they would live by grace through faith, Lord God. That they would understand what you have done for each one of us, Lord God. That we would understand in our hearts, Lord God, in our minds, Lord God. That we would take the time to reflect that your perfect love drives out fear. And that you are motivating us by your perfect love. You are motivating us by your grace. Help us to refuse to be motivated by fear. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you would... I pray, Lord God, that you would just come against every single fear and dread in this room, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would just blow it out of the water, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord God. Amen. Father, that we would have the enduring motivation of the love of God, the grace of God in our lives, Lord God. And I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.